Hey, everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, we're going to find out where Kin fell in the box office totals and not in the top 10. Also, we'll find out what the heck Carrie thought about some great new movies, as well as Anthony, and maybe I'll chime in. It's going to be a lot of movie talk, folks. Let's get to it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
And then there were two. There we go.
Oh, well, it's like the other round that we had to do this, where it was a while where it's just the two of us.
That's right. You know, we don't need any of these other weak sauce people here.
No.
We're getting back to, you know, old, pure, refined Box Office Breakdown. That's right.
Right.
Welcome, everybody, to Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. This is the show where we look back at the box office that was. And then we...
Well, now you have to do it because
we can't. I was about to say, I'm not going to sing.
Come on. It's up to you, Carrie.
Prague.
Stick.
Yay!
How about the box office that lie ahead? I'm Frank Moran.
And I'm Carrie Lane.
And of course, as always, making us look good, sound even better, is Anthony in the booth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Woo! We are a skeletal crew today, but that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Skeletons are nice, everybody. You know,
it's almost Halloween. I'm so excited.
Amy Cassandra on assignment, unable to join us here. Follow her on social media. She's blowing up. She's hosting all these other sorts of things.
I don't know how she does it. Oh, no. M? Does she do T? Is it that way or the other way?
Oh, you want to get that nailed it.
Almost nailed it.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I never do it, so yeah.
You tried.
And then Neil moved. So
that's
if you
true.
All don't Aww. Know, he unfortunately moved away and left us all.
But follow him on social media because he's chronicling his incredible journey from here to the great state of Pennsylvania.
Support your boy.
That's right. And hopefully once he gets all settled, we'll still be able to have him participate in the show in some fashion. So hopefully Neil will never be too far from our thoughts.
We can get like a Neil minute.
That's right.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
But as always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And while you're there, give it a thumbs up. Or two. Or three.
Wait. Oh, I can reach.
Four,
there we go.
Or as many thumbs up as Carrie can do right there. And everybody, hop in the chat. It is up and running right now.
Yes.
Carrie's excited to see all your candid commentary. Mm-hmm. And Carrie, if they're watching this after we stream live, what can they do?
Y'all can comment down below.
Oh, fantastic. Well, let's just jump right into it.
Yes.
This last week's top five, no surprise, especially on a time of year where... the blockbusters are kind of slowing down. There's a little bit of a lull in quality material at the box office. So Crazy Rich Asians monopolized on that. Came out to number one again. Another $22.2 million. Just a 10.4% drop from last week. So
still doing good.
Still doing fantastic.
Yeah. It's barely dropping every time.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, keep it up.
Coming at number two, The Meg. Another $10.5 million. And,
nice.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun, people. Don't take it too seriously.
It's not that great, guys.
No.
But, you know, there's really nothing else out there that's like...
Yeah, if you missed it, it's one of those, go check it out.
Yeah. I go see that movie about, like, as not a shark that it's not as big as the promotional material makes you think it's going to be.
Boo.
That's right. Coming in number three, Mission Impossible Fallout. Another $7 million
straight up. That's a good summer fun action.
Yeah, and certainly we're at AfterBuzz. Popcorn Talk is part of the AfterBuzz family. We've got a lot of great podcasts about a variety of different subjects, especially in Popcorn Talk, where we talk a lot about film. But just a quick tangent there. If you do love a nice in-depth discussion about the making of a film, Empire Film Podcast has a great almost 6-hour discussion with Chris McQuarrie about the ins and outs of Mission Impossible.
Wow.
Yes. So it's a great listen. I've made it through the first one. It was, three hours and 48 minutes, just jumping into the second part. So
is that what we're working up to?
That's right. Here at Box Office Breakdown, we're going to...
Not a sprint.
Yeah, we're going for 7 hours. Starting next week, get ready for our 7-hour nonstop podcast where we go in depth.
Oh, boy.
Anthony's right. excited by that. You're in, right, Anthony?
Yeah.
You can do it, man.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just the one takeaway, though, is just how improvised the making of those films are. It was interesting to learn.
Oh, okay.
Coming in number four, Operation Finale, one of the two of our two
new
films.
We were all like, what movie?
Yeah. There you go. From MGM, $6 million. Yeah.
It
made the top five, yes.
But at $6 million...
And rounding out the top five is a film that I know that two of our people associated with us today have seen, Searching, made another $5.7 million.
Yes.
Carrie's already waxed on about how much she's loved this film. She has even talked to the director.
I talked about it a while ago, yes. If y'all remember. Also, we may be having some special guests on Horror Movie News on Tuesday that are related to Searching. So tune in for that.
Oh, well, it's a shame. I mean, we have a nice comfy couch here that could use a guest for Box Office Breakdown, but whatever, Carrie.
They were excited it's a horror movie news show. We're just Box Office.
Oh, all right.
Well, maybe later we'll be like, hey, once they're still in the top five, we'll be like, hey, you're still here. But anyways, you can go watch those interviews from Searching. It's on my YouTube. It's on my Twitter, which we'll say later. And then also on Popcorn Talks, Red Carpets, and Los Angeles Asia Pacific Film Festival. I talked to the director, producer, the mom, and the daughter.
And the best boy.
No.
Well, give the best boy some love,
Carrie. But yeah, they kind of talked about like how they worked on the film and how they did, because it's all filmed through screens.
Look at that. And speaking of the film, Anthony, he decided to go to the movies this weekend. And you saw this film, Anthony.
Yes, I did. I saw it after a long day of work. Saw it Thursday night at 12 a.m. but yeah, it was a great film. Definitely, it feels groundbreaking just by like the way it was made and filmed, or if it's even filmed. I gotta say, the first opening frame, I was so distraught because it's a desktop computer of like Windows 98. And you notice the background and like the screensaver.
Very basic.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what
everyone
is this?
Cheered. They're like, yay! Like throwback.
It's so interesting. I love like, it's cool because like the composition of like the framing, it zooms in with like within quadrants of the screen that you're looking at, and it's really smart like how they composed certain shots to include, like if he's on a Skype call, to include his face as well as what he's looking at on the screen. I gotta say, it was very interesting to watch. It's definitely something to witness. It feels like a weird event where you're just like, huh, this is something new to cinema, and it hasn't been done like this. It hasn't been done this effective, I guess I would say, I don't know. I can't really compare it to anything I've seen before.
When they pitched it, director Anish Chat, he at the screening, he said to John Cho they had pitched it as like Unfriended, but a little different. And that wasn't exactly winning points. But they were like, they didn't have a way to explain how they were going to film it, because there hasn't been anything like that before. And someone tweeted, and then the producer, Sev, replied back. They were like, oh yeah, they're screen like technology like gimmicks. And he's like, oh no, that was all filmed on like iPhones and legit. That was no like fake altering later to be like, oh, it's a fake call.
Oh, nice. Did all their Skype calls go through?
Well, not all of them are answered.
Let's just say not all calls are answered.
The other thing too is they mentioned how with Skype, no, it's not Skype, it's FaceTime. Because the thing is, Skype, when you're done with the call, it ends. With FaceTime, it will stay on you even after your call's over. So, like, if we were calling and then we ended the call, my screen would still show me, and that's still used. Because then it's, like, the reactions after the phone call and what they're thinking of next, which is really...
Yeah,
voyeuristically effective.
Yeah, it's very smart because like they use tech. They don't like create technology that doesn't exist. Like everything they use all exists.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, it's all Apple, but I mean,
yeah,
yeah. So it was pretty. How do you say? Innovative. How like they use
innovative.
Yes, thank you, Frank.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it had a. I think they did an amazing job with what they set out to do, and it's a good thriller.
Yeah, the story was really good as well, and the acting was phenomenal.
Oh yeah, John Cho, yay!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, he did really good.
Rude.
Yeah,
give it a chance.
There you go.
And then somebody asked, I think they're referring to this, John, in the chat, says, any indication how wide it will go this weekend? It's not playing anywhere within 50 miles. Good question. I mean, depending on how well it does, it will expand and they're thrilled that it's... Oh, it's actually did really well in, like, Korea, Malaysia, or something else. They were tweeting on about it that in other countries it was doing really well. So that's cool they're worldwide already.
Yeah, I mean, at least domestically, it's on a little over 1,800 screens at the moment.
So probably the better... As it continues to do well, it'll probably continue to be at more screens.
Yeah, I'm sure the it seems to be getting a lot of good word of mouth.
Yes.
Now, of course... not in the top five is a film that we did the box office bet on, and that was a little film called Kin. And as I teased at the beginning of the show, it didn't even make the top 10. Oof. Kin came in at number 12. Right between Incredibles 2 and Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacation, sandwiched right in between those two animated fairs. That came out from Lionsgate and made it a little over, just a hair, over $3 million.
Ouch.
And that becomes the subject of our box office bet.
Which I'm pretty sure I lost then, because I think I bet the highest.
Now you bet the highest. You went for the fences. And, you know, don't be afraid to dream, Carrie.
I was interested in this one. I just didn't see it because I saw, I had already seen Searching, but I was not on this list either. I saw a Bollywood horror comedy called Stree, and that was the movie I saw this weekend.
Oh, well, then, nice.
Which I enjoyed, so I know... everybody has different markets on what there's available to them. This one, I had to go to a particular theater. I went to the Burbank Town Center 8, which they've remodeled. Oh, my goodness. If you live in L.A., it is, like, nice recliner seats. It was $13.99 for a ticket, where I was like, ooh. Because last time I was there, it was, like, the regular slope, like, old theater style. And so I was happy to find out it was nicer seats. But anyway, it's a cool movie. There are, if you've never seen a Bollywood movie, there are some cultural and context jokes that might be like over your head. I had to explain a couple to my friend. And then it's really, really good to about like the very end where they're kind of wrapping some things up and they've been super concrete the whole time. And the very end, there's a couple things that my friend and I both, did we miss something? Is there a cultural context? So I messaged my friend in India. I'm like, hey, wait. I don't know what this is. Is this a thing? And I asked, are you going to see the movie first? I don't want to spoil it. And she's like, I don't like horror movies. Perfect. All right, tell me. And she's like, nope, I don't know. So I don't know. And I looked on Twitter, too. Is anybody else talking about this? And something fun, too. I never knew getting your measurements done could be so sexy. There's a scene in there where he's taking her measurements, and it's a very hot little scene, and nothing really happens. But I was like, oh, they filmed this really well. And also, it's a film, side note, that... And I hope this doesn't discourage anybody. It's actually a very feminist film because it's all about men being worried about a predator, this Stree, which actually translates to woman, which I'm like, wait, so they're calling her the woman and woman. But in the movie, they don't translate it that way until like one conversation where it pops up and you go, oh. So it's men being afraid of going out at night because you're going to get attacked. Don't be alone. I'm like, wow, this sounds like most women's lives. And so there's things like that. And how they film it, too, it's very much from the Stree's perspective, which is cool. And they reverse it, too. So it's, like, looking right at you, the camera. There's a couple of movies that did that recently where it was very kind of cool. Or maybe it was a Black Mirror episode. Anyway. And then returning it and then just kind of how the gaze is done is really kind of cool. Unexpected. I didn't think that was going to be in the film. So pleasantly surprised.
Well, there you go. If Carrie Lane likes it, it's got to be good. So go check it out. And she'll be checking out Kin.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you like a movie, then apparently they're checking out because there's not many.
No, I don't like any movies because I'm dead inside. But yeah, so Carrie Lane, with her loss in the box office bet, will be going to check out Kin and telling us all about it.
Hopefully, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wait, holiday tomorrow. Might go see something tomorrow.
Oh, look at that. And Kin, what better way to celebrate Labor Day here in the States than going to see Kin? But our dearly departed, but never forgotten, Neil Plumley did win this last box office bet pretty much spot on. He bet $3 million. It was just a hair over that, but like, you know, $20 million bucks. So $20,000.
In the honor of Neil.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Anthony.
You're welcome.
Now, of course, the box office bet never stops, though. So we're going to be doing another one at the end of this episode, and you get to choose which film we do it on right there in the chat. Two films for your voting consideration, and that is The Nun, the new, I guess, like, this is...
The Conjuring franchise.
Yeah, and it's probably pretty much, I guess, like, the beginning of it, because this is supposed to take place before all the other films, so...
Real quick, I like to refer to it as the Conjureverse.
Mm. Oh, thank you, Anthony.
Right? Mm-hmm. That works.
That's beautiful.
All right.
And then we've got... that's on 3,700 screens, and then we have Jennifer Garner's new film, Peppermint.
I hate 2850. Peppermint. Like, I hate the taste of peppermint.
Now, this is one, looking at it, I'm a little bit excited, too, in terms of it's the revenge film, but they have realistic training and modifications to oneself to be stronger. You know, if by that time her arms are ripped, I go, okay, I can buy it a little bit better. It's just the immediate, like, oh, I can take revenge right now.
Yes.
It's like, no, she took a while. She did training. I'm okay. Okay. I'm for it. I want to check it out.
Yeah. It's been so long since you've seen Jennifer Garner doing anything similar to Alias.
I was going
to
say Alias. Throw it back.
So it'll be exciting to see her out there just kicking some butt. Mm-hmm. So start chiming away in the chat about which one of those two films you'd like us to bet on. But in the meantime, we'll talk about a little bit of the international numbers.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry, from the chat, Sarah wants to know why you're wearing a dad hat.
Dad hat? Is this a dad
hat? How is that a dad hat?
It's a dad hat? I mean, this is from Vans.
Well, you are a dad, so. It's on your Instagram. It's not really a surprise.
Is it on my? I don't put that on my Instagram.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. Just a,
is that just Facebook?
That is.
Secrets.
But thanks. Thanks. I got a, you know, separate worlds, Jerry. Separate worlds.
It's not a, I wouldn't call that a dad.
There
Iron
you go.
Man hat.
This is an Iron Man hat, Sarah. Come on now. This is from Vans. You know, Vans aren't giving out dad hats.
No. Oh, no. You have mentioned before on the show of going to kids' movies.
Because I'm a kid at heart.
No, because you took some.
In fact, I watched The Death of Superman, the latest DC Direct animated film.
And?
Direct to video. Actually, it wasn't too bad. It was a nice reinterpretation of the original Death of Superman storyline.
Cool.
Yeah, just set up to have Reign of the Superman coming out later this year to kind of finish up the story. But yeah, it was a nice, I mean, gosh, over 20 years old, but they did a nice kind of reimagining of it to tighten
it
all down.
Is it the documentary?
No.
Okay. Because there is a documentary.
Yes, but this is just a retelling of the animated version. You saw like the Superman Doomsday, which I think was the first DC direct-to-DVD DVD film. This is much better than that.
Oh, cool. Dang.
Yes, definitely.
It's a whole like he fights Doomsday, right? Like
he fights Doomsday, but I mean in the original one, it was the Justice League, kind of the more international version where he had Booster Gold, Guy Gardner, Blue Beetle helping out. This one is the Big Seven. It kind of really changes it when you've got Flash, Green Lantern, Aquaman, Martian Manhunter, Wonder Woman duking it out against Doomsday.
But in the comics, it was just himself, though, right?
He got some assist from the Justice League at first, and then they all got taken up very quickly.
Yeah.
And then it just became Superman the whole way through.
Got it.
Yeah. And that last issue was great because that just each issue, as it came down from like 6 to 1, they would reduce the number of panels per issue. So. Huh. By the time you got down to the last issue where he was actually the final battle, it was just splash page after splash page. So
that's kind of cool.
Storytelling device.
Random, but cool.
So anyway, check it out if you want to pick it up on Amazon or iTunes or wherever you might like to pick up your local Blu-rays or DVDs.
I like that the chat's already excited and putting in their votes for what we're going
to
talk
about. I like that, folks. That's what we like to see. Now, international box office news. We talked a little bit about Mission Impossible. You're checking in, getting more in-depth on that. But it finally opened up overseas in China and became the biggest opening day for the franchise. It made $77.3 million there in China for its 3-day. That's a new record for the series. And for Tom Cruise, it's also 84% higher than Rogue Nation, which itself was a record setter in 2015.
Rolling in the money.
Yeah, so far the international total for that is $89.1 million in 65 markets, lifting it to an overall global overseas total of $442.7. And globally, $649 million. Hmm. And it's looking to finish upwards of $750 million. We also have here, of course, it opened up in China, which took a little bit of the thunder away from Ant-Man and the Wasp, but it still had enough to stay in number two. And basically, the sequel has surpassed the entire lifetimes of the original Ant-Man, as well as Captain America Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and Black Panther in that market.
Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yeah.
Wow, go them!
The global total is now buzzing at $595 million. And Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom crossed $1.3 billion worldwide, as the Japan totals rise to $71 million. And Incredibles 2 became the number two animated movie ever at the global box office, with Italy and Germany still to come. Hmm. There you go.
Also on my Twitter, I retweeted a thing of a really cute Jack-Jack cosplay at Dragon Con. I think it's Dragon Con. I'm like, that's actually really cute.
There you go. And then lastly, Crazy Rich Asians had a great start in Australia to land the all-time best debut for a rom-com and the studio's best 2018 opening weekend in that market.
Cool.
So look at that.
I forget his... I'm blanking out his name in the movie, but his real name, Chris Pang, is Collins. Collins' wedding they're going to in Crazy Rich Asians. He's from Australia.
Oh, nice.
Also, on the Popcorn Talk interview.
Oh, well, look at that.
I did that one as well.
And I saw the gentleman who stars opposite of Constance Wu. He seems to be in A Simple Favor that's coming up, or A Small Favor. The one with...
A Simple Favor.
Yeah. Yes.
That looks... I was curious on your thoughts on that one, Tony, because I'm all, it's kind of horror.
It's on the edge for me.
Yeah,
it looks,
right?
There's some parts where I'm like, oh, this is cool, and there's some parts where I'm like, oh, this is really dumb.
Yeah, it's one of those I'm like, this is going to be really cool or really bad.
Yeah, I'm really into like the whole mystery. Like, I really enjoyed Gone Girl and whatnot. So, mm-hmm. like, I really that's one of my main, like, enticing. Also, who's the main girl?
Blake Lively. And,
yeah, both great actresses.
Anna Kendrick.
Yep.
Yeah, both really great actresses, and mm-hmm. I would love to see like their dynamic on screen.
Yeah.
And also, I want to see like Anna Kendrick like slowly lose her stuff. You know?
Yeah, because she's normally more composed.
Yeah, so like she's like slowly unraveling this weird mystery and stuff. So like, it looks interesting. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Has potential.
Before we get into our next week's top five prediction as well as our box office bet, we like to do a little box office rewind. Take a look at somebody that's coming up in one of these two upcoming films. I was waiting for Carrie to do this.
I know, I was waiting for the sound effect.
Are you going to do the sound effect, Carrie? Oh, all right.
It's close enough.
Yes.
It's a record stop, but... Yeah.
So this one will do, of course, the star of Peppermint, Jennifer Garner. Take a look back at her top five. And coming in at number five for her was The Kingdom from Universal back in 2007. Made $17.1 million. That's a Peter Berg-directed one with her and Jason Bateman. They're overseas in, Iraq.
Don't think I saw that one.
Not a bad film.
So, okay.
Yeah. Coming in at number four, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, Not Good, Very Bad Day. Came out 2014.
Feel she probably plays a mom.
Yeah, it was her and Steve Carell.
Okay.
Based off a children's story or a young adult novel. Hmm. Made $18.3 million. Then coming in at number three, 13 Going on 30. From
yes,
Sony.
Love that one. And I know Amy would chime in that that's a great rom-com.
That is a good one.
It's
that
a
is
good
really
one.
Good. Her and Mark Ruffalo do great stuff in there. That made a little over $21 million. And number two, Daredevil from Fox back in 2003, where she ended up meeting Ben Affleck. $40.3 million.
I didn't hate it. I know people hate on that movie. It was fun. When it came out, it was fun. Like a fun superhero movie.
Yeah, I mean, I see the director's cut, so you can get some of that sweet Coolio stuff in there. Need more Coolio.
Oh, God.
Yes, more Coolio in my Daredevil.
I had some Electra comic stuff, too, so I thought she was a little not as cool as she could be, but...
Did you see, and then she had her own spin-off
and then
there.
Electra, which that one was also fun.
Oh, really?
I didn't hate it.
I didn't see it. I don't know.
Yeah. Wasn't the best. Yeah, I don't know. Like, that Daredevil, like, going back to watch it now, it is a rough... watch.
It is.
Okay. Yeah, it's just...
It's one of those, maybe when it came out, it's what market there is. Like, we were talking on Marvel TV Weekly. That one, we were saying how... I said the first X-Men was really good because, you know, at the time, that was, like, the only superhero movie coming out. And so you had no, like, special effects to compare it to because if you go back now, there's not as much. So when Daredevil and Electra came out, there wasn't a ton of other superhero movies going on. So you go, okay, that's the levels...
But the thing that always bugged me about that X-Men film is just the costumes. The fact that they went for that all black look, it just, ugh.
Neela J in the chat says, I also loved her in Daredevil and Elektra.
I got to say, the saving grace for me was probably Colin Farrell as Bullseye.
Oh, that's
he
true.
Was a cool,
I like that villain. Yeah.
He was good.
When he breaks the glass and he just like throws all these glass shards at him.
Yeah, he does that whole shot where he's catching them all.
That there was dope. I really enjoyed that part. And he's like... with the piano organ and he's like bouncing around all those like pipes or whatever and just like messing up with Daredevil's sound. I thought that was pretty cool.
Stargers with me and says, I'm with Carrie, Electra isn't that bad. Also, Daredevil had a pretty decent soundtrack. For some reason I remember having that soundtrack because I have songs that they were used in that. I'm like,
oh, that's awesome. I could not tell you one song that was in Daredevil.
Yeah, I was about to say, I can't remember.
No,
I only remember just because I have songs that were part of that and then use them for other stuff. I couldn't tell you right now what they are, but I know I had the songs from that movie.
I can see clearly. No.
I think it was Three Blind Mice. They had that.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. That was in the. I just remember that sequence where they're out in the rain, and that's like using his radar sense. He can using the raindrops and kind of get an image of what her face looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Daredevil. And then coming in number one for Jennifer Garner, Valentine's Day from Warner Brothers, and it's one of those kind of anthology films. It's $56.2 million back in 2010.
I think I skipped that one. I meant to, but I just didn't get to it.
Yeah, I've never seen it because very similar to like that or like New Year's Eve, things like that, where it's just a bunch of, you're following a bunch of different stories as people getting ready for that big event.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm like, oh my gosh, what is that one that everybody you watch at Christmas?
Love Actually.
Yes. I was all, that's the one that, their bar set so high though, yeah, that too many other ones don't.
I think the fair one that's like in that similar vein is He's Just Not That Into You. I really enjoyed that one. You guys ever see that one? He's Just Not That Into You.
With
like Justin Long and I think it's Justin Long. Yeah, and then you have
maybe
Bradley Cooper with Demi Moore.
I know. I'm like,
You guys don't remember that? Huh.
I'm blanking.
I think there's also Scarlett Johansson's in it.
Just Not That. Come on, let me.
We're going to do this.
Let's pull up the picture.
Yeah, you guys, I stumped you guys.
Yeah.
He's Just Not That Into You. Ah, I thought it was fantastic. In the live chat, help me out here. Have you guys seen that?
That's not a real movie.
What?
Oh. Not a real movie.
You're lying to me.
Yep. I think I know the movie you're talking about.
Oh, no, I did not see that one. But that did have a lot of people.
It's right there. He's Just Not
Ben That Affleck, into you. Jennifer Aniston, Drew Barrymore, Jennifer Connelly, Kevin Connelly. Bradley Cooper,
Justin Long,
Jennifer Goodwin, Scarlett Johansson, and Justin Long. Yeah. Nope. Didn't see that one, but I do remember when that came out.
He's Just Not That Into You. It's 2009.
Just not into that movie talk.
Whatever. It's worth watching.
Really?
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Sarah says, I love He's Just Not That Into You. So Sarah's with you on
there
that
There you
one.
Go. Sarah, thank you.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into next week's box office bet, we'll do our quick top five, what we think. We're adding, of course, The Nun from The Conjuring, The Conjuring-verse. Is that correct, Anthony?
Conjuring-verse.
Yes, it is.
That's right. 3,700 screens, and then Peppermint on 2,850.
Oh, that's true. Song, Kenjack says, so rewind back to songs, says Bring Me to Life by Evanescence. I'm like, I think that was in it.
Yeah, I think. I mean, great. It sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple others.
One of those.
Another reason not to like that movie.
hey now.
You're a rock star.
Okay.
Oh my God, I thought the same thing too.
Wait, what?
Because you're like, hey now.
I didn't even try for that.
Look at that.
Go me. Okay, everybody's still voting.
Great. So what do you think next week's top five is? Do you feel either one of these two? I feel like The Conjuring can take number one.
The Nun, yeah.
The Nun? I think The Nun could do really well because that franchise is very popular.
Halloween's right around the corner. People
horror
people
movies
jump
always
on that
do
horror.
Well.
Yeah, and yeah. It's coming up pretty much almost. I mean, if they drop their theater count slightly for Crazy Rich Asians, it's going to be on the same or maybe a little bit more than Crazy Rich Asians.
So Ken Jack in the chat said The Nun, Crazy Rich Asians, Peppermint, The Meg, and Mission Impossible. I think The Nun could take number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go The Nun, Crazy Rich Asians, Peppermint. Do I think The Meg would go down more? The Meg and Searching will stay at five. Mm. It'll give him a little more legs.
That's true. I mean, Searching could get a little bit more juice there if it, because Searching, actually, I said 18 for its screen count. It's actually 1,207 on its screen count. So if it goes up any higher than that, so I wrote the wrong number on that. So, yeah, Searching would be interesting because it is getting a lot of good buzz on that.
And then I know on MoviePass's thing, which MoviePass is all kind of mess, but it was one of the things there, so I don't know if they were encouraging to see it too.
All right, I'll go. Yeah, I think I might agree with you for that one. I could see Screen Gems possibly knocking out Mission Impossible if it's
Screen Gems?
I mean, Searching from Screen Gems. Excuse me.
Sarah in the chat says, there hasn't been anything truly scary for people in a while, and I feel it's time of year for that. Yep. And Wellington says, Searching looks great. It is great. Tony, do you have thoughts? On your five?
Oh, I'm always terrible at this part. That's why I stay quiet. I have no idea. I feel like just the nun will get, will have,
ooh,
you know, potential, yeah, but I don't think it's gonna, like, I don't know. This Crazy Rich Asians kick is really powerful right now. But it did make, how much did it make this week? It made 22 mil. Oh no, it's definitely gonna be number one if that's what it needs to be, right?
Yeah,
that's how it works. I have no idea how this works. It's a safe bet to say the nun's gonna be number one.
Yeah,
yeah, that's for sure. That's all I can say.
That's all right. John in the chat agrees. Says nun for number one, Crazy Rich Asians for two, Peppermint for three, and then said Searching, then The Meg. So very similar to mine. I just had The Meg and Searching swapped.
Well, I feel like if you want to see cool action, you're gonna probably want to see Peppermint. Because
yes,
you've already seen Mission Impossible,
yeah,
once or several times. And then if you want something a little scary, for sure you'll see The Nun over The Meg.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of a, I mean, that's not a scary movie. It's more of a fun action movie.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I feel like both of those could go over there.
I kind of feel like we can get a jump in Searching, too, with all the word of mouth and the buzz that's kind of going around with it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Because Annabelle Creation, that did, well, that came out. Did $35 million when it came out.
But that was a sequel, right?
Yeah.
Well, that was
a prequel. A sequel prequel.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was like, it was already, there was already a previous film, you know, before
yeah
that. I'm thinking like, since
this
it's
is
so
the fifth?
Yeah, but this is a nun.
Right?
It's like, so
I know,
it's like original, you know, it's like,
well,
a new,
it's such a small character in the movie, and then like, here, we're building this whole world on it.
Yeah, I feel like people who are really into the controversy, like mm-hmm, really want to see this you know, this character come to life and scare people. So I feel like that, you know, curiosity for the nun,
yeah,
will give it a great stride. But we'll see, you know.
I'm curious because Conjuring 1 was good. I felt Conjuring 2 was better because it had more things in there.
And I never saw Annabelle or Annabelle Creation.
I think I saw the first one. It was okay. And the second one had moments. Like, they had moments, but overall it was take it or leave it.
Also, the fact that it's like not in the house
yeah,
might work better
against
it.
I'm curious to
it, you
see
know
a new place. Yeah,
it's just like there's so much, like, I guess, like you could say a breath of fresh air for
yeah,
opposed from all the previous Conjuring films that are like based in a suburbia or like
yeah,
you know, in a house. This is gonna be at a, I believe, some sort of convent or like a
convent.
Thank you. Or a like a old church or something.
Because
mm-hmm,
other than Annabelle and the Nun, as like kind of things that kind of showed up in their kind of trophy room,
the
that
Nun
they have,
was the painting, Annabelle was
the doll. I don't know if there was anything else. Was there anything else that really got prominence?
There's
a lot of
things.
Stuff in there, but things that kind of really kind of they really
Annabelle
kind of
they
on
made a huge deal about, and then yeah, the Nun came at them.
Yeah.
So those are the only things that were big deals / interacted with.
Yeah. Personally, I want to see the Crooked Man.
Yes.
Yeah. That's,
totally want that one.
That was the creepiest thing. Like
he was. That was the creepiest thing of the second one. Probably.
Yeah, and that was. I
did
really
you see? Oh,
that.
Did you see the second one? Have
second
you seen
Conjuring?
Any? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you like the Crooked Man?
Remember the dog that turns into like the man?
And it gets and it's like. Shh.
I thought it was really.
I thought well
that was
done.
Freaky. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess we're into that. Yeah, I mean they. I feel like they've kind of really mastered that whole like kind of jump scare. For when they did, what is Annabelle create? No, is it the first Annabelle where you see like the trailer where it's the little kid starts running or whatever, and then the door slams and then opens up and it's like she's the full woman. Is that Annabelle? No, is that Annabelle?
I don't know.
I'll try.
Anyway.
But then of course the nun, they've got the from the trailer where it's like she's standing there with like a nun behind her and then a nun comes out
yeah
from the side.
Yeah.
I do like that's a little different though because you're like, well, this could be the side thing. And then I saw another trailer where it's just some guy and they're like, they all have hoods on and he goes to like lift up a hood.
I don't know.
That's a new trailer.
Well, at least personally for me, I'm not really buying into like jump scares nowadays. Kind of over them.
Not buying into them?
I'm not buying into them.
Yeah.
I'll still go watch this movie, but I'm just like, jump scare.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I want to see it with Anthony so he could just kind of, I want to hear that groan as those jump scares happen throughout the film.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be like,
Like they're so predictable, you know? Like they always like prime you for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sound, oh, that's when you lose me.
Yeah, it's just,
really, really
it's just loud things.
And
yeah,
then boom.
And
that's
like, whatever,
cheating.
Whatever,
yeah,
cheap.
All right, everybody, all right, it's time for us to do our box office bet. Feel free to chime in there with. I know Ken Jackie is usually good about giving us the total about which film that we'll be betting on. Carrie, feel free to fill us all in
yeah
if you see a total.
I was looking. I haven't seen it yet.
But as we're waiting for a total, folks, the way the box office bet works is that we will bet on the film of your choosing there in the chat. Whoever's closest to the actual opening weekend total will get the
Peppermint position. One.
Oh, Peppermint. All right.
4-3.
It'd be the prognosticator or prognosticators. Oh, no. The loser will have to go see the
Well,
film.
I was going to say, are we going to try to see The Nun for like next week for Horror Movie News?
Right.
Not this week because we got Searching.
All right. Oh, all right. So, again.
Peppermint.
2,850 screens.
Three. Which actually, I think I want
to. We're not going to hold you. You can bet however you like.
Well, I was debating if I want to change my top five and make it number two, if only because Crazy Rich Asians, if that goes down and it makes more. I don't know. I'll just make it number.
All right. All right. Okay. Let's see.
Ooh, now I feel like I'm really high. Ken Jack said 13. Star Drew says 17.
All right. Let me just look at our top five again here real quick. Or even our top 22. Yeah. I don't think it'll do that high. All right. I will go.
I probably won't really high. But I do want to see Peppermint. So.
All right. I think I got it. Ready when you are.
John in the chat says 13.
All right. Anthony, ready when you are, sir.
All right. I think I got it.
Yep.
Okay. So I think it's going to make $8
million. $8
million?
Oh. Why so low?
I don't know. It just feels like it's going to be low.
Oh, right. Wellington makes a point, though. First week of school, a lot of people back in school.
Yeah.
So make the numbers. And said 9. Janet Mouse says 19. Sky Patterson says 10.5. Oh.
All right, Carrie. You seem to be breathing heavy on that.
24.
24. I like it.
Dang.
Look at that. I like that. I like this Carrie Lane trend where you're just going for the, swinging for the fences. Boom.
I'm going for the bunt.
Amy Cassandra Martinez, she bet $22 million on it.
Oh, okay. Dreamers will be
there. You go.
Yes.
I went with 17.
Oh, boy. Okay. What am I doing?
Well, no. You could be right.
Yes.
I thought it would, as a number three, I thought it could pull that.
Last thing I want is to go watch Peppermint.
Gel Spike says 15. John, I don't know. I know 24 was bad. It's one of those, who knows, though. Some movies, like, maybe?
For some reason, Stardew was betting $10 on me, and he says he's lost his $10 because of my vote just now. Hey, man, I didn't tell you to bet
win,
on me.
Though.
I mean, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
It's very...
Oh, thank you. Wellington says that I'm the optimist. Yes, for some movies, I'll be the optimist for them.
I mean, I'm excited, as I said, to see Jennifer Garner kicking some butt, so I'd like for it to do well. Because, I mean, whether this is the type of film that you can
get a sequel
out of.
We've seen revenge films already. It's not new, but I like the take they're going with it.
No, and it's by Luc Besson, right?
Is
no
it?
Way.
I was gonna say, what? Like, what?
No.
No.
Sure. You
liar. What?
There you go. Wait, who's directing it?
Oh, he might be a producer.
Pierre Morel. So
definitely feels like a Frank Castle. Like the Punisher.
Yeah.
There you go.
Which I like that.
Punisher story kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was the director on Taken and District B-13.
It was Taken, yes. That's what
which District B-13, Luc Besson is a producer or something on it, too. He was involved.
Did
you see District B-13?
I didn't see that.
Oh, my gosh, it's so good.
Really?
They made Brick Mansions, which was the American remake, with dude from Fast and the Furious.
Paul Walker.
Paul Walker did it. It wasn't amazing. It was pretty cool, but District B-13 is just way better.
All right, folks. That's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. As always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And while you're there, why don't you give it a thumbs up?
Do it, Carrie.
Yeah, there you go.
Do it, Carrie.
There we go.
And as always, folks, thanks for hopping in the chat and sharing your thoughts. We really appreciate your involvement every single time that we do the show. But, Carrie, if they're watching after we stream live, what can they do?
Y'all can comment down below.
Oh, look at that.
Been pretty quiet lately. You fluctuate. It's interesting. take this energy that you have such great energy in the live chat. Put it in the comments later, too.
So much energy.
There you go. Well, I mean, we're getting close to the Halloween time. What, yes. It'd be cool. In the chat, talk about like what movie did you kind of watch to get you ready for the Halloween season?
Oh, nice.
All of them.
Yeah? This is like the first one. What's your first one that you got to go like, all right, Halloween's coming?
I own the Tales from the Crypt series. I was thinking I want to put those on in the background and just let them play.
Oh.
Like the whole... Even while you're not at home.
While you're not at home, they're just
totally.
Playing.
You know. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to stay in touch with us even after the show's over, Anthony, where can they find you, sir?
Oh, you can find me everywhere at TonyBTony_. And also catch me every Tuesday at, on the same network, at Horror Movie. I'm doing like 10 things at once. Find me on Horror Movie News along with Carrie and Ollie Drennan at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Or just catch it afterwards and comment down below. And I always try to reply. I know Wellington Smithopoulos, my boy, he's usually there. And I want to see all you guys there too. All these familiar faces. Come join us.
Oh,
yes.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie, about yourself.
Yes, you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And right after this is Marvel TV Weekly. Right before this is Wynonna Earp, also on Tuesday's Horror Movie News. And I'm all... We're talking My Hero Academia on AfterBuzz Anime Reviews.
Well, look at that. Yeah. Amy Cassandra Mantina is not here, but Carrie, where could they find Amy?
Amy Cassandra MTZ.
Yes, really?
Amy Cassandra Martinez MTZ.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, Amy Cassandra MTZ.
There we go.
Yeah, please, hand gestures.
Hand gesture.
Wait, does she do the M this way?
I don't know.
Don't be confident. Be confident, Carrie.
Own it. Do it.
MTZ.
I did
the sign language.
That's respectable.
All right, there you go. We don't get a nail, though. We just get respectable. There you go. And those folks, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Box Office Breakdown, folks. We'll see you back here next Sunday night. Till then, go see some movies.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.